Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
Rehab Overview. So this is a podcast while driving, and I'm going to overview the sort of different progress I've made, where I've been, where I've come from, and where I've achieved, possibly where I'm going. And this is for Mira, who's a rehab consultant, and we've noted that, sort of beautifully noted down, that I do some podcasting, so I thought there'd be nothing better than actually give a podcast for Mira. And yeah, it is a public one. There's some 100 odd souls out there around the globe who listen to this type of stuff. Early on, it's sort of steadily risen up to 100 or 120 or something like that. And early on, when I was just starting to podcast for the first time, I had a dutiful audience of Ukrainian people, Ukrainian and Russians and people like that used to tune in all the time. However, as I've got better, they've sort of lost interest, and to other people who are sort of like normal people have come in, so you, the rest of the audience are out there. So what we're going to do is just go over the whole series of podcasting, because it was, oh, you've written your own software and the importance of that. So we start off with heart operation, sort of strokes, difficulty, after the operation, still difficulty breathing, and I think I probably began podcasting before operations, in actual fact, so the actual physical stuff, difficulty breathing, and essentially I would have to memorize things and repeat them in a podcast and give them a lesson. Bear in mind that the overall theme is that you're a wounded person, and it's the time for Australian society to show how great it is and to step up and lend a helping hand. If you should fall, I'll be there to catch you, or no such thing. It was just total, complete abandonment by the department, and I had to pick myself up, dust myself off, and get myself going. I should say that it was an excellent helping other people, where you have to, so I'm not the first person who's been abandoned. I've sort of helped other people who've been abandoned in my life, and so I knew what the story is. You couldn't assume that have a cargo cult mentality, that's, people are actually going to look after you. Also, sort of that sense of urgency, which is one of the things that you have, one of the things that you have to tick off in training command. So this is in the military, that all training has to have a sense of urgency. You just don't just train, oh yeah, got a bit better. It's that innate sense of urgency. So when after the operations I had this feeling of sort of grogginess, just bare sequence of thoughts going in your head all over the place, really tired, not being able to read things, but that sense of urgency that if you don't get up, you're just going to be knocked off your perch, so to speak. Now, I think this actually is true, that there were people there saying, thank goodness this person's out of the way, but whether that's true or not, that's the general attitude, a sense of urgency. How did I get into podcasting? It was writing YouTubes to explain operations and scientific facts, and doing voiceovers, and then I was looking at this software, helping this company with software have this mobile phone, explain software. Now, unfortunately, this whole brain thing, I have actually forgotten the name of this software, and it's important. I really want to support it. It's a great software. So part of software development is that if you see some good software and the rest of the world thinks it's rubbish, you get in contact with the person who's written it and say, good on you, mate. I'm behind you 100% of the way. I can see it. It's worthwhile. I've done it for them. And they sort of traded back saying, look, for podcasting, you can't go past your mobile phone. It's sort of designed for it, and explained it. Oh, I just really can't remember that person. So I began to initially podcast on my mobile phone. And to convert the mobile phone into a podcast area and to set it up, it was possibly you'd do start off with 5 minutes worth, and then it'd be about 2 hours to get that 5 minutes onto the internet and produced. And essentially, from a robotics background, there's no way that's going to happen. We'll see if I can write software which runs the other software. So that's essentially what I've done, is written other software. And so this podcast you're hearing now will be automatically put on Twitter, iTunes, and I haven't even scratched the surface of actually promoting it. That's something that I've got to do eventually down the track. Now, just as a little background, you'll hear the traffic, the indicator from time to time as I stop. Hopefully you won't hear the car crash. And I've got to go off on an errand to buy some oat and hay, in actual fact. And this is part of the drill in terms of to get the rehab up. It's the hours and hours of work a day and hours of cognitive stuff, building circuits, writing programs, speaking on a topic. If you just put that in the number of hours of rehab you have to do in a day, it wouldn't fit in 24 hours. So a lot of it I try and put on. So if I get on the exercise bike, I will have a textbook that I'll read while I'm doing that to try and just get it going. And look, I'm no shakes. I do fail, but I sort of own the fail, the stuff. Now I'm going to stop here, and what's going to happen is this magic of podcasting. I'm going to spend several minutes in this errand, and we're 7 minutes in, and I'm going to, in no time whatsoever, what's happened in my life is going to be several minutes, and for you it's going to be just a couple of seconds. So I'll be back to you soon. So back again as I change gear and get out of this car park, going to the next thing. So the magic of podcasting, several minutes of me doing one errand have transformed into seconds in podcast land stuff. Now, we just sort of covered the sort of resilience of, I suppose, from training command, making sure that you're doing continuous, you know, full-on training and mixing it. And I think one of the chief amazing, the miracles of mixing training is for stroke stuff, is for when I did boxing, that cross, and the rehab people would speak to me the entire time because they would be given the specific rehab goal from it. Now, it took a while to do it. They initially said while I was doing things to count backwards or to do things like that, but eventually they would carry on conversations with me where I'd have to memorize or remember their kids' names and what movies they went to and all that type of stuff. But also getting back along, just the thing is that, look, quite honestly, there's corruption riddled throughout the situation, the place, and there's what's called, and these things don't last. I'm sure nowadays if you went to the same sort of unit, same group, that they wouldn't understand what you're saying, but the term was another day in the office. So what would happen Well, this is the same thing, but you'd have your resup, your resupply thing couldn't get to you. The bridge would be blown up, and you'd get a report that some mad people got into the local township and had taken over. And people were under fire, and you know, this is the only first couple of hours of a 2 week camp or something like that. And people would turn to you and say, "Another day in the office." So the fundamental training, sort of the essence of infantry, military training, is not to be overwhelmed by these things and not to be knocked back and to be there. So, and essentially you want that. That's essentially what the defence forces are supposed to be, is they're supposed to be people who are representing Australia's interests and can't be beaten, can't be pushed. Don't start fights that they can't win, but also not be pushed around, and takes a realistic assessment and work out what to do next. Now, in terms of what to do next on specifically podcasting, we've only really scratched the surface. Now, it's taken a while to learn how to podcast in the car while driving, to get the right microphone and the stuff like that. So it's moved a long way from mobile phones. Eventually, I took it so it was... I reached 50-50 parity. As long as I took to podcast, it took to upload. And then eventually, it swung the opposite way as I eventually, bit by bit, knocked over software stuff. So it... the software detects... Just checking on the speed limit. It would be horrible to get a fine up here. Which won't take too long. The software detects that the you have... It looks for all peripherals and sees if there's a podcast anywhere on its peripheral. If it does detect one, it will take it up, prepare it for publication, stop for a little while for you to write the heading for it, for the blog wrapping. And if you want to, you can write a quiz with it. A teaching quiz, so that's it. That's really, really racked my brain. So not only did I have to actually write something that has a quiz and a finder word, it goes through the quiz and does a finder word, not a finder word, a spelling rearrangement, a few class exercises comes with every podcast. So and then organising it such that you can do several podcasts a day. And so since I've started off, there's probably 1,800, up around that number of podcasts. Some good, some bad. A lot me, memorising, reciting the periodic table. Some discussing software, some strategy, some a lot on philosophers. Going through the software strategies, the technology strategies, it's all in there. So I really don't know why. And then most recently I've I'm just going to go over here. Okay, so checking everything's here. Most recently I've got to be able to get quite reasonable putting in text and the computer reading out the text. So if I'm working on a say children's story or something like that, I'll get the text, you know, really high quality, working through it, and get the computer to read the text, and then still haven't got it automated. I can sort of highlight some text and then it and press podcast. I haven't done that quite yet, but there's that aspect of it. I'm just keeping my eye out here because it's rather difficult. I've got to turn across some traffic to pick up this oat and hay. That's all. And then I've putting the podcasts into apps. And this is something which I suppose I will describe later. It's probably not as as critical as as I say this, I say, oh my God, I have forgotten. So I do these things. Unfortunately, I have forgotten exactly how. I sort of know roughly where they are in terms of the software, where the software is held, but what exactly it does and how it does it, I'm sort of just a bit of a fog. However, I've done this fantastic stuff that once I've got the software up such that it can take some speech and pop it out to the internet as a, okay, Sun Valley Road toward, yes, go across here. There's nothing worse than missing this particular turn off. Sorry, guys. Once I can do that, I can actually give a podcast in such a way that give a talk in such a way with the introduction. A point, a question about that point, and then correct answer, incorrect, and three incorrect answers from it. I can then instruct the software to, I just put that in, tag what everything is. Unfortunately, I haven't got the voice recognition to quite up there yet. Tag what it is, and then it takes that and then restructures that and republishes it. In with music and introduction connection points into four separate teaching lessons. So, you know, one podcast gets broken up into four lessons. So an introduction lesson, a lesson where you're learning for the first time on the train, where you're where you're testing yourself on it is one, and a class lesson, a class test. So the class does it, and you have multiple choice, you know, A, B, C, D. But all the structuring of giving the multiple choice is a separate podcast. So it mixes the two, not podcasts, it mixes the two groups together. Now, I haven't done that for a while. I developed that up as sort of a high watermark, and look, the market's there, not there for it yet. But this is part of the general. You can see I'm trained as an executive and an MBA in a certificate of engineering practice in innovation. So and at Australia's premier innovation. CRCs, cooperative research centres, you know, this is the top, and you'd expect no less than to actually go out there and have a shot. And so I've reduced this along, and I think also from innovation I'm aware, I'm just going to make sure I don't miss this turn off here. I'm aware of what to do, so in this case, there's no point giving up the intention. Clearly, the intention was to break me, and of course, you don't go around. Oh, you haven't broken me, because you get more people attacking you. However, in the off time, I've just slowly worked, and so these things have taken months. It's taken me months to write the software, and months to get up here. And the story is, Australia's going to come out tops if I can do anything about it. I'm off to get some oat and hay. Okay, I'm back with you again by the magic of podcasting. I just bought some oat and hay to get back. Surprising, I'm supposed to get this all done within an hour. It's pushing it, in actual fact. Here you've got the thing of This is to get podcasting up, where I've got the music, and you have to learn about how MP3 files have got wrapping around it before the audio is, and how the audio goes, and various things. And essentially, the software that you do buy is a sort of front panel which writes script to sort of command libraries, and you just hop in there and access those command libraries directly through robotics software to get across. Now, what it means is that logically, if I can produce a podcast, I can actually dice up my podcast and recreate it in lessons. Now, we're up to the point where I can actually put text to a lesson. I can then put text to a podcast lesson, which would be an ideal way of really accelerating it. Now, with the innovation training, I know that certain people are not going to mark, you know, it's not going to be pushed forward, you're going to be knocked back, and that's where research and development, you research on and you can keep on going regardless of the lack of feedback that you get. The last thing you want to do is have someone you wanted to knock out, like some sort of a zombie, still going. It's a real anger, and this is why you're still going after we've been this mean to you. Or you must be mad. And you will note that I've been sent off to a psychiatrist, which has given me a clean bill of health. So, like the worst thing possible. Now, we then come across, and I've only got a few more minutes, so I'm just trying not to get killed doing this manoeuvre, going onto the Great Western Highway. And, so I've got all this traffic coming onto the right. It's actually rather simple doing this this style of merging. What we're going to say is that what's also happened is there's the podcast stream and then there's the electronic stream. And essentially, strategically, there were these sort of the high ground, the most inconceivable high ground that you could take if you, like, who knows, is all the quantum physics I knew, is that an illusion, and is really the world which says it's not necessary, is that true? And, well, let's do an experiment. Let's find out whether you can actually produce something. So I began wiring this up, hand wiring it, and really sort of 1930s style stuff that you have in the 1930s, and then going up a level with the mate, and could I solder these circuits up? And so every couple of months I've been going forward a decade, I think, in electronics, things have sort of naturally evolved to this new generation of electronics that I've shown you. So I showed you the Dancing Duck. Now, Dancing Duck, you performed fantastically. You picked up the duck and found there was a magnet underneath it, and you also pressed the piece of silver foil and you got it to do. You're learning. That was a fantastic learning thing, and it's going to advance ever more. That's the primary school entry level box. The other box you saw up there is the full-on quantum physics box. That there's this quantum physics thing of the ceramic crystal begins to oscillate back and forth, and you can see what's going on. The laser shoots out of the box, and in order to get that drove me to put more and more advanced, they're not advanced electronics. The electronics have become, beyond stupid stuff. So I've just recently put in a suite of So if you know at school your bulb thermometer, there's these new thermometers which are, look like a little miniature Coke can, a very small Coke can. And what they've put in that thermometer is, oh, damn it. Oh, commuters are so cheap, let's put a computer as a thermometer. And so these are these little computers which are in these cans, and they're the thermometers. And boy, oh boy, do they read fantastic stuff. So there's a suite of these plastic things which I showed you. Now, look, I really haven't even scratched the surface. I'm going to get home before I can tell you other things I'm doing. But the objective there is essentially to have a robotic science teacher with all the science kit there that the students can actually pick out the different temperature sensors, acidity temperatures, mass sensors, all there, and it's we'll speak to you. And so you don't necessarily have to do it, and this is all wireless. So this is, I've got the head on the internet. So this has got these temperature sensors, and they put the temperature, all five temperature sensors, to your mobile phone. Now, what's astonishing? I just don't think it's 0.1, probably a 40th of a degree temperature. It's dead accurate. Well, dead reproducible to a 40th degree, and a little software takes over and it's dead accurate to a 40th of a degree. So you're lucky if your kid can actually read, you know, one or two temperatures every 5 minutes to within a degree. So imagine 5 times 5 to a 40th of degree. And the new generation software. Now, what I will do is attach to this a ABC documentary on fembots, where I have in the past, 2004, so that's, you know, deep past, got industrial robots to talk and respond to situations, and I sort of wondered at the time who would ever be the customer of it, of this type of stuff. And the answer is, I'm the customer of it, a long way off. So this is the Fembots. So Google Dr. Hill Teach Fembots. So DRHILLTEACH Fembots. And the YouTube there will be a 7-minute ABC documentary on it. So that's definitely coming forward. So those plastic boxes. Now the important thing is that it's not a deliberate strategy to show off or anything. It's just the consistent rehab where I say, oh look, I have to do a project, and then this project doesn't go, and so eventually I teach myself the modern electronics. And the modern electronics is exceptionally simple. It's all digital, so the electronics is now so advanced that thermometers themselves are computers. And so there's down in these little Coke, in these miniature Coke cans, they're the size of, you know, a drinking straw width of a Coke can. Imagine that type of stuff. In that is a little computer, and that computer requires 5 volts, and then it just puts out the data, right? From it. And so we've got things as advanced as that. And at the moment, for all the lists of oh, I want to deploy modern technology, blah, blah, blah. I want people to act ethically. Yeah, sure, bring it on. I can definitely do it. However, it's not the pleasant thing everyone was expecting. No one is really expecting. And it has happened this way. They're expecting innovation to come through the innovation door, through their friends that they have backed, through the complex web of relationships they've got going. They're not really ready for any innovation across. Now, that's okay, because quite frankly, everything is so cheap and so good, I can actually just work away continuous. And if they've slammed the door on you, well, that's okay. Again, very interesting, but it really hasn't sort of stopped the effort. It's like if the support isn't there, well, what are you going to do? You just can't sort of sit at home and waste away. You've got to really cook up a storm. Now, fortunately, this entire exercise has taken so amazingly long. I'll actually not go into my house. I'll park outside my house, finish off this podcast, and then pick up my wife from Pilates. This is exercise physiologist it's tough. Just really pushing you the whole way through. It's sort of like ultra tough. Okay, so these are the plastic boxes, and you saw the dancing duck, and the dancing duck worked fantastically with you. You personally, and I've got to go in and order the next crop of software, crop of the dance floor for the duck, and the two sort of music for the duck. And incidentally, there's a retired principal who is going to compose music for the dancing duck to come along. Okay, so that will eventually go. Now, the entire idea is that you can lock science. Let's say it. So there are no scientists in education at all. They've all been pushed out, me included. I'm just the last one. That they don't survive many years before things happen. Dreadful things happen. The education system operates the way it is. Now, that is the system. What is the education system? It's a system which shows scientists the door and slams it behind them. But that doesn't mean that scientists can actually dream up boxes. So this plastic box, you can give a primary school teacher, and they can do it. This, the quantum mechanics box, the Einstein de Haas box, you can give a teacher and they can do it. It teaches itself, and the other one will eventually go through there. So that's a pipe dream. I think I can do it. And it also resolves, I've just recently worked out how to resolve the thing between the deep gap between what the scientists are doing and what they're teaching at school. You have a little, basically you can ask the box to teach it the way that I teach at school, and then you can ask the box to teach it the way a scientist will teach it. And there it goes. There's no, you don't. The decision is now moved out. We're not doing one or the other. We're doing both. Both go forward. So the final thing, I suppose I'm doing, besides the software for the Glenbrook Historical Society and the RSL and stuff like that, is a project to turn the entire surface of the planet into a classroom. and this is, sounds, how could that be done? And I've had a few meetings with council, and you know, this is like, I know 100% it may be going slowly at the moment, but it'll get them. So as you know, I know about stars. The star is called Mira and stuff like that. But if you go for the scale of a trillion, that's a million million, the sun becomes the like a little sweet on top of a cupcake, those little spherical cashew balls, goes that size. And if you were to place it, one in Glenbrook, where I live up in the Blue Mountains, so you can see it from Penrith. If you look at, from Penrith, you look out into those hills out there, and just over the top of one of the hills is, the first hill is Glenbrook. If I put the sun there, I can then start to place, shrink the entire galaxy down by a factor of a billion, and they'll be out in space there. And so what I can do is I can actually move it from outer space a million million times closer, and then put it in a place on the planet with Glenbrook at the center. And so at Blackheath, there is a nearest star, or from, to give you a distance from there to the Opera House is a nearest star in terms of distance. Then every major city throughout the world will own a particular star, including, I'll find out where Mira, the star Mira, will sit. And so this is a project which I'm slowly working on. I don't have any backing or anything like that, but I know, like with all these other ones, the actual fundamental science will get you there. This, science will get you there. Okay, well, that's the end of that podcast. Now I've got to go off and pick up my wife. Thanks a lot.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.